Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful here, at your service. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll check it out when you can. I hope you'll take advantage of all the free resources there, thanks to our outstanding corporate partners, and also I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter and our blog. Both of those. The newsletter comes on Sunday by email, and the blog comes to you Monday through Friday by Real Simple Syndication. That's some new technology, and I keep saying new technology. I only say that, folks, because it's probably new to you, not as many people are using that as will be using it, I predict, but it's easy to use. It's free, just like an email, a free email client is, and I hope you'll take advantage of that. And you might even learn some things, not only from me, but from using that new technology. And I think RSS is going to be one of the ways of the future. Steve Del Bianco is our guest. He probably has an idea about that. He's vice president of the Association for Competitive Technologies, and he's our good friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. And I'll put in a shameless plug for that newsletter of yours. I especially like the little vignette that you write up, the little lessons learned that you write up under the heading, Write This on a Rock.
Oh, yeah.
I think those are excellent. I have to confess that I didn't read yesterday's yet because I was watching those crazy football games.
But it's on my list for today. I was watching some of those football games, too. There were some pretty good games yesterday. Well, I appreciate you saying that, and that's sort of a little signature that I put at the end of all the columns, just basically just a culmination, just a summary of what's been said before. But what do you think about my idea about RSS being? I actually believe RSS, in terms of distributing information, in terms of distributing thoughts, I think RSS will one day overtake email as a marketing device. What do you think?
I think there's only one conclusion you'll reach, though, is that by using RSS, you can surround yourself and barrage yourself with so many little news clips that you're faced with the same problem you have today, and that you don't have the time to read the newsletters you already get.
Yeah.
So I know that there's a higher probability that an RSS can select just the news items you want, so that perhaps there's a better chance you'll actually get to read them all. But either way, the big challenge is for us to have the discipline to carve out the time to improve our lot by reading more and talking less.
But we have that with cable. We have that with satellite TV, and that's part of our lives now. I guess what I'm getting at is that even though we have an email newsletter and we expect to have one for a long time, and we have thousands of people are subscribing. The issue to me is that email, there are some challenges with email, getting it through the ISPs and that kind of thing, whereas RSS is not like that. And so far I haven't been spammed by RSS. I don't know if it can even do that or not.
Are you still having trouble getting your newsletter through some of the anti-spam?
Everybody does. Everybody does. I mean, that's a constant issue. That everybody does, and including people, everybody who subscribes to my newsletter, and the only people who get it are the people who say I want it. And so we're totally opt-in and have been now since day one, but they're still, we'll send our newsletter to some people and they'll get it for 5 years, and then all of a sudden their ISP will change a code, and then they won't get it, and they'll email us to complain. When am I going to get my letter? So it's a challenge, but anyway, I just wondered what you thought about that. The difference between if you thought RSS was an emerging technology. What do you think?
It definitely is. Yeah. It definitely is. Although I do like to see your newsletter in its packaged form. I might appreciate if you went into RSS on it so that I could pick up items that come at me one at a time.
Well, of course, we do that with our blog, and we do that 5 days a week. But anyway, okay, so what's the news? What's happening out there in the world of technology, public policy?
Jim, one of the key topics is what happened just before Christmas. You and I have talked about this before, the whole topic of sales tax, what they call internet sales tax. Mm-hmm. But I hope in the minutes we have this morning we can dive into that and discover what the real issue is. And just before Christmas, two senators in the U.S. Senate introduced bills that are nearly identical. They differ in a small but substantial way for small business. And these are bills that would force retailers around the country to collect, remit, and file for sales tax on sales that they make to any state that becomes a member of this streamlined sales tax movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so your listeners are thinking, what is he talking about? But, I mean, as everybody knows today, when you buy things from a catalog.
Right. Or online.
Or online, you buy from a site that doesn't have a store in your state, they don't collect the sales tax for you. It's up to you to pay your own use tax.
When we come back, we're going to find out who those senators are and what they're up to and how it affects you and me in our, as consumers and as business owners. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Steve Del Bianco is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he's back with us. He's Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology. And Steve, tell us about ACT and also the website, please.
Jim, ACT, the Association for Competitive Technology, is a trade association of small and medium-sized information technology companies. And we are a combination of consulting firms, systems integrators, software developers, training firms. And what we're watching for are public policy issues at the state and federal level and trying to make sure that we preserve a healthy environment for technology innovation and investment in the United States.
And they do that very well, folks. And oftentimes while you and I are sleeping, and Steve, we appreciate that. Tell us, you were telling us about two senators who passed a bill, who introduced bills, both of them, each individual bills, that affect the way you and I not only pay taxes as consumers, but may have to collect taxes when we sell things online. How does it work?
Right, Jim, and the latter concern is the big one. Senators Enzi and Senator Dorgan. Both introduced bills.
I know Dorgan is a Democrat.
That's right, and Senator Enzi is a Republican.
Okay.
So we have a Republican and Democratic bill, but I don't think it was designed that we have two bills from two different senators, because last time they tried this, they just co-sponsored the same bill. This time the bill is split, and its only difference between the two bills is the way they handle small business, the way they define who a small business is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really emphasizes how vital it is in this new sales tax collection burden that small businesses not be overly burdened to the point where it compromises their ability to invest and employ people and grow, and maybe even their ability to stay in business. I should just explain that as it works today, the law has been settled in this land for decades, that mm-hmm. if you had a catalog, if you had a website, if you had a telephone order or a home shopping network, you only are required to collect and remit and file sales tax in states where your business has a physical presence. So that meant that when you were selling things into a state where you didn't have a presence, it was up to the purchaser to pay their use tax on it.
Right, right.
And all of our small business listeners know, as I did when I ran my small business, that you better pay your use tax on items you buy from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely easy to catch everything on audit, and most state tax auditors are careful to audit businesses to be sure they're paying use tax on anything they buy and consume as opposed to things that they resell.
Right.
And it's all right there in your accounts payable ledger, and so that it's an easy audit track. So this isn't really a problem with businesses, right? Because businesses do pay their use tax.
They pay their taxes. But it's a problem for consumers, isn't it?
Jim, you're right. Consumers, from the days they started buying from the L.L. Bean or the Sears catalog 40 years ago, consumers were notorious about not remembering to pay their use tax on items they bought from an out-of-state catalog mm-hmm. or today on an out-of-state website.
And that it is much more problematic in tracking those folks down. For one thing, there are too many of them. And let me make an observation, and you tell me if I'm correct. Your problem with all of this is not that you don't want the states to be able to collect the taxes. What you don't want to happen, which is what I don't want to happen, is for in the collection, when I do business online or even through a catalog, when I make my products available that way, I don't want to have to deal with, what do you say, 7,600 different tax codes?
That's exactly right. Suppose you decided to sell your book online or one of your many books.
It is for sale online.
Exactly, and today you're collecting sales tax for every shipment of that book you make to the state of Alabama.
That's right.
Because that's where you have a physical presence.
And so but any of the other states, what you're saying is with the other states, if the bills pass, we would have to know how to remit sales tax to 7,600 other jurisdictions. We'd have to have that many different forms and addresses and everything, right?
Well, it won't be quite that bad. The states realize they'll never get away with imposing that kind of insanity on businesses, and the Supreme Court told them, forget about it, back in 92 in the Quill case. It said, you've got to simplify and streamline things, because the way you do it today, it's an unreasonable burden on interstate commerce. That's what the Supreme Court said. But the states are pretty smart about it. They've gone out and done a good faith effort at simplifying things, and then come to Congress instead of going back to the Supreme Court. They've come to Congress and said, hey, Congress, give it to us. Give us the mandate to force all these businesses to collect for us, because we've made a little bit of an effort here to simplify and streamline. They've gone nowhere near far enough to satisfy what the Supreme Court said. But you didn't have to go very far to satisfy Congress if you've got a lot of other interests that are lobbying to help move it along.
So if you had been on the panel last week talking to Judge Alito, you would have said, Judge Alito, do you consider the internet tax issue, sales tax issue, do you consider that to be settled law? That's what you would have asked him, right?
Exactly.
What do they call it? Super precedent?
Yeah, super precedent. It's funny, in this case, it's not even a matter of what is the law, but whether the states have met a reasonable standard of simplifying.
Mm-hmm.
And today, the states are still, even under the streamlined movement that the states have done, they are still allowed to have 7,600 different tax jurisdictions. Every city, town, zip code can have its own tax jurisdiction. And the states have realized that even zip codes cut across two different sales tax abatement districts in Louisiana or someplace.
Right.
So they're no longer going to allow us businesses to look it up by zip code. You need the full street address
right.
to resolve the correct tax jurisdiction. Does
so
that
what
sound
do you,
simple?
So what are you going to do? I mean, what do you think is going to happen with these two bills?
I thought the first order of business that I had was to protect the interests of my members, small businesses. So the first thing I've done is for the last 4 years was lobby hard in the states and in Congress to make sure that we put a robust exemption for small businesses. That is, small retailers below a certain level should not have to collect and remit for all these jurisdictions.
Right.
And I want to discuss with you and your listeners the two different kinds of small business exceptions that are being debated.
Yeah, I want to know that. And if there isn't some way, you know, coming up with maybe how many different locations you have around the country, maybe that could be an indicator. Maybe you've already thought of that. We're going to come right back and talk some more about this with our good friend Steve DelBianco. He's with the Association for Competitive Technology. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingham, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Steve DelBianco. Steve is Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology, an organization that I encourage you to find out more about by going to their website at actonline.org, actonline.org, and also netchoice.org, right?
That's right. NetChoice covers a lot of the e-commerce and interstate commerce issues.
And that's .org on that one, too,
that's right? NetChoice.org.
All right. Hopefully you'll check those out, folks. If you don't consider yourself to be a technology company, you really are, whether you know it or not, because you're a technology consumer. And everything that you consume is made by some company, and if you want them to continue to make those things available to you, and if you want to continue to be able to do business yourself online, you need to know more about what ACT is up to and how they're working hard to protect you, and so you can support them in the efforts that you find out about. Okay, we're talking about the state sales tax, and the issue is, what is a small business? How do we... in these two bills that are before the Senate right now, Steve, how do we identify the do you think everybody in this issue recognizes that small businesses need some kind of differentiation and the little ones really need some protection? Is that generally accepted or not?
It's definitely generally accepted in the context of this new burden, the burden of collecting and remitting all this remote sales tax. It's recognized in two respects. One, there's an exception level below which you don't have to collect and remit. But also, once a business gets higher than bigger than that, the states also have to provide software and systems and some small amount of compensation to the seller for these burdens of having to collect and remit. So there's wide recognition.
Is that generally accepted by the proponents of these bills?
It is.
They
view it as an unfortunate reality. Believe me, it's not out of any sympathy for the plight of small business. They just realize there'll be a firestorm of protest if they try to impose these burdens.
Concerned about small business. This is pragmatism, is what you're talking about.
It's politics, Jim.
Yeah, politics and pragmatism. So how would we define a small business that would?
Well, I want to give you both, and I want to really invite your listeners and experts like you on small business to help us decide which is the better small business definition for us. And the first is from Senator Enzi, and his bill says that any retailer who does less than $5 million a year in remote taxable sales.
Catalog or internet.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't have anything to do with the internet.
Right.
So if you did $5 million last year of total sales, you would be below the small business exception. If you did $10 million last year of total sales, but say $5 million of it was to other states where you didn't have a physical presence, and that $5 million of that was also taxable. It wasn't B2B wholesale or resale.
This would be if they just saw your ad in a magazine and called in and you delivered a product to another state, anything you delivered to another tax jurisdiction outside of your state, you had to collect on.
That's right. So if you toted up $5 million last year of sales into other jurisdictions that were taxable, boom, you've hit the trigger, and from now on you are subject to the requirements of collecting, remitting, and filing for
whether you had a nexus in that state or not.
That's right. That's right. And Congress has the power to do that. Congress has the power to regulate interstate commerce, whether you have physical presence or not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's called the Enzi bill, and that's a relatively simple one-line definition.
Right.
Second, as Senator Dorgan came up with, and this was done at the behest of a handful of businesses that wanted to see perhaps the number could be higher or perhaps the number could be lower. Because the Small Business Administration has a whole array of rules for determining who is small. As many of your listeners know, if you're in certain industries, the NAIC codes, the Small Business Administration measures whether you're big or small on the number of employees that you have.
Right. I got 1 minute,
Steve. Dollar volume. And for others, it's the dollar volume of sales. But in this case, the Dorgan bill says that the Small Business Administration would take 6 months and try to figure out the definition for which small business definition works for this and which small businesses would not have to collect and remit.
So we might be able to contribute to this then.
You bet. Over that six-month period, we need to call on you and your listeners to sound off to SBA and let them know where that line ought to be drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Because Congress then gets an up or down vote on whatever the SBA comes up with for a definition.
Now, Steve, I've only got about 20 seconds. There was a time when you were fighting this thing tooth and nail to not have anything like this. Now are you becoming more pragmatic and realizing something's going to happen and now we're just trying to define the rules?
Jim, I still think the status quo is better. This problem is self-correcting.
Yeah.
The state fiscal crisis has actually gone away.
That's right. They got plenty of money now.
That's right. And more and more businesses are both doing stores and websites, so they have to collect anyway. We don't really need this bill, but if we're going to get it, we better protect small business.
Very interesting, Steve DelBianco. Thank you for being here. Thanks for all the hard work you're doing on our behalf. Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, actually next month. Quick break. I'll see you on the other side of the news. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.